All right, let's do this shit. Hi, I'm Amon.
Hi, I'm Lena.
And welcome to Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
Huzzah!
What was that intro?
I don't know. Let's do this shit.
Oh, you're trying to make us sound cooler than we are. Everyone, we're not that cool.
All four people who listen to us think we're super cool.
I think that's debatable, but okay. I'll take it. All four? I don't know. All right, Amon. What are we talking about today?
Today, we are talking about Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, the America Chavez story.
That's what it should have been called. But I loved America Chavez in this.
She was fantastic.
Movie. Yes. Really big fan of, I guess, newcomer?
Newish. Right? She's been in other stuff.
Yes.
That I've never heard of.
Yeah. Do you know how to pronounce her name? So, do you know more or no?
No, that's about it. Okay. That's not too much more either. I've never picked up a run of that, you know,
of America Chavez.
Comic run, but I've seen her, I've read her as like a side character in other comics, so not too much going into her background story, to be honest. So I don't really know too much in particular about her any more than you do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if you did know more, whether... I think that is her power in the comics too, right? Being able to jump through the multiverse and stuff. So, yeah. Why do I suck at this?
Ziotel?
Yeah, Gomez, yes.
Ziotel Gomez?
I think so. Okay, we're going to like include something in the show notes that's going to help all of us be better people at pronouncing everyone's names and, you know, honoring and respecting their names. So,
yes.
But anyway, she was fantastic. Loved her. Loved her energy. Loved her vibe.
Absolutely. I thought she just like encapsulated that character really well.
Yes, I think she did a great job of that. And just, I don't know. So I've read about her in some comics. And so I recognize the character in the trailer too, like just from her jean jacket.
Right.
I was like, ooh, that's America Chavez. And
yeah.
But I don't know too much about her character from the comics. So do you know more or no?
No, that's about it. Okay. That's not too much more either. I've never picked up a run of that, you know,
of America Chavez
comic run, but I've seen her, I've read her as like a side character in other comics, so not too much going into her background story, to be honest. So I don't really know too much in particular about her any more than you do.
Yeah. I was going to ask if you did know more, whether I think that is her power in the comics too, right? Being able to jump through the multiverse and stuff. So, yeah.
And punching stars.
Right. But anyway, okay. So those were our impressions of America Chavez. What was your impression of the overall movie?
I really enjoyed the movie, but it visually felt like that first scene, I was like, Prince of Persia, Sands of Time. What is happening?
It felt like a video game. Like
it felt like it had a very video gamey vibes visually.
I think I was in the back of my mind while watching that scene, playing that sort of Mario Brothers tune, like you know, like as they're, I don't know, running along a rainbow in space or something.
Was it? But the way they had that in that first scene, that book, you know, with the thingies and floating by itself, it very much, I was like, the Sands of Time? Like, very specific. It wasn't like a random-ass video game I was thinking of. It was like, very specifically, Prince of Persia, Sands of Time. I mean, I'll also give you Zelda. Ocarina of Time, but Prince of Persia, Sands of Time is really what I'm thinking of here. But overall, I enjoyed the story, though it felt very questy. Like, yeah. Just, you know, video gamey, just jumping from one quest to the next. But overall, I enjoyed it. I thought that this was a great showing for the MCU.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It wasn't my favorite movie, and it didn't blow me away like Spider-Man No Way Home. And just, I think I was, the trailer teased Professor X's voice, and then yeah. I think I heard a lot of totally baseless rumors that were like, oh, there's going to be like so many characters. It's going to be like Endgame. Like, I don't know where I heard that from or where I saw that headline, but it was completely false. And yeah. So I think in that sense, it got too hyped up for me personally. And I hate when things get too hyped up because, right. you know,
I did
always a letdown.
Everything I could to avoid the rumor mill. So in that sense, I think I only watched the official trailers for the movie. So I got to see it with a pretty fresh perspective, which was worth it. It was totally worth it.
Wait, so did you not watch the trailer that showed Patrick Stewart's voice? That was it.
I heard that. And so that kind of made me a little, you know, it kind of ruined that sequence for me. But I actually wasn't quite as blown away by the whole Illuminati sequence because they felt they were so pointless to the overall story.
Okay, say more.
All right. In the sense that, like, they showed up, you saw this brief history of this alternate universe, and then they all died. Like, there was nothing to establish them in a way where their existence would have any sort of impact or insight into how the MCU operates. Does that make sense?
How the, like, MCU op? Okay, go on.
Yeah, yes. Like, so the multiverse is supposed to be, you've got all these different universes where crazy things happen. And this was Earth 828, as Dr. Palmer called it, was, it's similar in many ways. There's a lot of similar beats to what happens in the MCU universe. All right. So you would think that there would be some similarities between that and this universe. But the fact that they so completely and utterly died so fast didn't make me feel like their existence had any kind of a lasting impact on the MCU, which you wouldn't expect because it's a different universe. Right. But I was thinking that it might be able to give some insight, like, wait, if there's an Illuminati here, do we have a version of the Illuminati in our universe? Like, right. Something, mm-hmm. like something like that, yeah. Where it would have an impact. But it felt like you could have removed that entire sequence from the movie and everything would still be fine. That's what annoyed me about it.
I also didn't like how they just sort of threw that in there only to rip it away from us.
Yes.
All of the characters making up the Illuminati.
It was very, very fan service-y.
Yeah. Know? And which I hate when they do, like, that is entirely, in my opinion, what ruined the latest Star Wars trilogy.
Oh,
is the stupid fan service they were doing. And I'm like, can you just go back to, like, good writing and good plots? Like, that, this is what you need to do.
I mean, but the MCU does a lot of fan service, but it's not quite it's smarter, and B, it's built into the story. And in this case, if I can remove the scene completely and have it have absolutely no impact on the story, which I guess it's a little arguable, you know, like Stephen Strange goes into this universe and then leaves realizing that if he sticks to the way he's always done things, he's going to end up in the same position as his dead self in Earth 828. But I don't know. It didn't really have that big of an impact. There was nothing unique about it other than, you know, giving us a live action Captain Carter, which I fucking loved. Giving us Black Bolt, which I think the Inhumans show is not, I watched it recently. It's not good, but it's not as bad as everyone made it out to be either.
Yeah.
And they gave us a comic accurate Professor X in the yellow hover chair and shit.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. And then, you know, fan casting of John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic, mm-hmm. also awesome. And then everybody died and the end. Right. Like, why were you there? Why did you bother? You know, so if yes. And even Baron Mordo, you know, like it wasn't even that didn't even pick up on any kind of storyline from the end of the first Doctor Strange, because this was a Baron Mordo from a different universe. Like, what the fuck? You know?
Wait, who?
Mordo. Well, I'm God, I'm so bad at names.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yes.
Sorry, I messed up his name too. Yeah.
I'm so bad at names, but I actually love him as an actor. My first viewing of him was actually in the movie Serenity, and he was so good in it. I love him.
Yeah, sorry, I totally forgot his character's name. I don't know why I totally blanked on it. I was like, who's that? But wait, going back to Mr. Fantastic and mm-hmm. John Krasinski, do you think, is he going to play Mr. Fantastic from now on?
I don't know.
If you'd heard anything or read any articles. I'm asking
if you've heard anything. I'm trying not to.
Okay.
I'm trying to stay out of the rumor mill because they just ruin movies for me.
Well, I think he would make a really good Mr. Fantastic.
I think so, too.
So that would be great.
I think so, too. Great fan casting on that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, sure. But yeah, I mean, that scene just had no impact on anyone or anything. Like, why?
Yeah. So, yeah, again, like, I wish I hadn't heard Patrick Stewart's voice in the trailer because I would have been way more excited. Like... as excited as I was to see Matt Murdock in the Spider-Man movie, you know, that, so I'm probably more excited than that, mm-hmm. but I obviously they were trying to show just how powerful the Scarlet Witch / Wanda is, right?
Yes.
But the fact that she literally went into a totally different universe and mm-hmm. then destroyed the Illuminati there, made up of all these amazing superheroes, Captain Marvel, Captain Carter, all these people, and just killed them all. So what I get, like, one part of me gets that. I understand it. I'm all for trying to really portray just how powerful Wanda is.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you that it just... like, what was the point? Also, what's going to happen to Earth 828 now?
Yeah.
Literally all their superheroes, like the main ones, died? Like, what?
Right.
Can someone check in like a month from now being like, are you guys okay? Like, do you need help?
Right.
It just seems so awful and irresponsible mm-hmm. to just go into another universe. And
Yeah.
But anyway. So yeah. What else was there? Okay. So in general... this movie also felt like a WandaVision sequel. I know some friends of mine were not happy about the fact that if you were to just watch the movie on its own, you mm-hmm. would have a very one-dimensional view of Wanda and not understand the depth of, you know, everything that she's experienced, her emotions, her powers, all of it. But my argument that I made to my friends mm-hmm. and in general to anyone who has this view is that I think that Marvel has established that the MCU is something that you don't just pick and choose the movies or shows that you watch. If you really want to fully experience the MCU, you have to watch everything, you know?
Yeah.
And is a mm-hmm. wonderful business model, quite frankly. But even aside from that, like, they've just established, like, hey, these are the stories we're telling, and they're pretty much all interconnected.
Yes.
So if you really want to fully appreciate and be a proper fan of XYZ character, then you're going to have to watch all these things. So, I didn't really mind that. I was like, this is definitely just a continuation. You have to have watched WandaVision
to have seen this movie. To be fair, though, you could still watch this movie in isolation and still enjoy a full movie start to finish and not really feel like you were necessarily missing out on what's happening.
Right. You would understand the basic plot and everything. Yeah. But to fully appreciate each character and their story, you have to watch more than just the one movie.
Yeah.
So...
speaking of Wanda, I do have to say, I totally agree with her on in that one line where she was like, you fucked up the world and you were called a hero. Yeah. I did one little thing and I'm a villain.
Right.
That doesn't seem fair.
Yes. I thought that was brilliant. And I actually thought that, okay, going into a little bit of real world stuff, but right. I thought the portrayal of Wanda was a pretty good reflection of how society in general treats women, especially women who are trying to heal from past experiences.
Yes.
Society very often, I mean, and they do this to just people in general, but like mm-hmm. particularly women too, they are just cast aside. And they are not really given the help that they need. And, I mean, you know, again, we talked about this in Moon Knight too, where mm-hmm. it's like you're just treated as if you're broken. And so I just, like, I felt, you know, the way that Wanda was, I mean, relatively speaking, so quickly turned into a villain when she couldn't even, like, the hex that she threw on the town. Mm-hmm. I'm forgetting the name of the town right now, but...
Westview.
Yes, Westview. I almost called it Hartford. I was like, that's not, no. Okay.
Hartford, Connecticut, right?
Yeah, right.
Close enough.
So, I mean, she almost did that. Like, she didn't even know she was doing that, right?
Yes.
Whereas, but I also did appreciate in this movie that there was that scene in the church before mm-hmm. Christine's wedding, the dude, I'm forgetting his name, the other doctor. He sits next to Dr. Strange.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I lost my two cats and my brother. Like, was that the only way? You know? And right. and it's so there's like one person trying to be like, hey, dude, you know, like I don't necessarily see you as like a hero all the time. But with Wanda, you know, like, yeah, that line was so brilliant. And that is often, I think, what happens with women. Mm-hmm. Is that often if men and women are doing the same exact thing, but you know, I mean,
it comes down to exactly what you like that same thing that you're saying where it's like, oh, he's confident, she's bossy.
That's exactly what I was going to say just now. Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a hero. She's a villain. Pompous know-it-all.
Right.
I mean,
he's charming. She's chatty. Like it can go on, like on and on. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And in so many different contexts, like whether it's mm-hmm. in the office or whether it's parenting, you know, like, right. oh, how nice. He picked up his kids from school. And it's like, and then if the mom is like 2 minutes late, woo, you're late, aren't you? You know, it's like, what? I don't know. It's the standards are totally different. Yes.
I think the only thing that sort of muted that a little bit. I think that was a commentary, but they then really pushed the whole Wanda, well, really Scarlet Witch being a villain, is a throwing in the Darkhold corruption and yeah. really then getting her to do some pretty insane shit.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, what you're doing, I understand where you're coming from. Your actions are completely unreasonable. Why right. not just ask America? Not the country, the character, Chavez. Right. America Chavez for some help. Not kill her.
So, also, I do appreciate the line that they threw in that, I think Dr. Strange says this, where he's like, that's not Wanda anymore. You know,
yes.
like, that's the Darkhold. So, that to me showed that the Darkhold was almost like a disease, and it yes. has spread throughout her and complete, like, it's not her anymore. So,
I mean, they really drove that home with the whole Illuminati sequence that we just shat on for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
where Professor X goes into Wanda's mind and finds Wanda
yeah.
trapped underneath a bunch of rubble, trapped by another entity. I.e. mm-hmm. the Scarlet Witch, you know? So like that really drove home that this isn't it's not just, oh, this isn't Wanda anymore in the same way as somebody's like overcome by grief. And so they're not behaving like themselves. Like they made that very literal.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. which I don't know how I feel about that actually.
Well, that was showing Because she was, what's it called again? Like taking over the body in a different universe? It was called something. They had a term for it.
Dreamwalking.
Yeah, dreamwalking. So she was dreamwalking. What Professor X found in the mind of that body was the actual Wanda.
From their universe. From their
universe. The Wanda from their universe. She was trapped in there and she was like, I can't get out. Like,
I totally didn't interpret it that way because I forgot about the dreamwalking shit. The
dreamwalking, oh my god. No, yes, that's what was happening. So,
okay, how did you feel about the horror sequences?
I love that it was like a partial horror movie. I wasn't expecting that. Yeah. I didn't know that that was going to happen. But I was like, ooh, this is very cool. And it went very, you know, I kept having to remind myself too that this movie is called Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Yes.
So the way they used music, shout out to Danny Elfman, love his music. The way they used music and horror and, you know, like CGI mm-hmm. and all these things to portray the madness of the right. multiverse, it was really cool, I thought, visually and, you know, in general, like whatever, the whole experience of it was very cool.
I wish that they had actually the sequence that I thought was most madness didn't even involve the multiverse. It was when Doctor Strange trapped the Scarlet Witch in the mirror dimension at Kamar-Taj, and she was trying to, and she was breaking out of that using reflections.
That was crazy.
That was crazy and terrifying, and it was amazing. And I wish they had done more of that kind of shit.
Yeah, they really could have leaned into it a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't enough because, like, obviously my first impression of the movie was this feels like a video game. So they obviously didn't really lean into it enough, and I wish they would have.
Yeah, I think that would have made this movie stand out in a whole different way.
Yeah.
In a really cool way. Wait, by the way, did you, just going back to the whole the way society treats men versus women topic. Did you catch the line where Wong tells they're at the fortress and you know, Wanda's going to attack or whatever. But before she's there, I think it's before she's there. You know, they were trying to figure out like what kind of magic or something is involved. And then Wong says to Doctor Strange, this isn't sorcery. It's witchcraft.
Yes.
And I just, even thinking about those words, sorcery, sorcerer versus a witch. And
very different.
They have such different weights to them. And they're so gendered. And, you know, like witchcraft is like, oh, it's just some evil women, you know, like that's what you think of. Mm-hmm. Whereas with a sorcerer, you can be like this amazing, blah, 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 you know.
Right.
Yeah. Like, doing magic and whatever.
There's a branding thing. There's a branding issue going on here as well.
Yeah. So,
however, for me, actually, it had a slightly different impact because, so one of my favorite authors who passed away a number of years ago, Terry Pratchett, in his Discworld novels, and I've mentioned him before and his works on this podcast before, he has his sort of magic system in his world does have two different kinds of magic, actually. Wizardry and witchcraft. They are gendered, but they are also fundamentally different kinds of magic. And so that line by Wong actually did strike me as a little bit different, hit home differently for me, but that's because I love Terry Pratchett's books so much. It hit home for me a little bit differently that like, oh, this is actually, they're dealing with something. It may all be magic, but there's still something fundamentally different going on. Right. And actually in Terry Pratchett's books, it's kind of funny because there's wizardry and there's witchcraft, and the witches just make fun of the wizards for just being stupid academics and making a show out of bullshit, basically. And whereas the witches are just like doing the practical stuff. And right. in one of his books, it's called Sorcery. It was a big deal where this girl became a wizard. And then this witch is like trying to convince these fuddy-duddy wizards to let this girl into their academy, which only has men, because mm-hmm. only men are wizards and only women are witches. Right. And I mean, he does a whole thing where it's satire and comedy and all that stuff. But that's what kind of struck me. This, I see what you're saying. I hear what you're saying about mm-hmm. like, it's weird that it's got this whole gendered thing. And then also sort of highlighting the quote unquote evil that witchcraft is associated with historically, culturally, right. but it also kind of highlighted the fact that they're dealing with something fundamentally different, something that they right. don't know how to deal with.
No, so that's what I understood that is what they were most likely trying to get across with the movie. Right. But I also just thought it was interesting mm-hmm. and just, it makes you think about like how have literally anytime a woman was like, historically, I'm saying anytime mm-hmm. if a woman was like, I don't really feel like sitting at home all day. Right. Witchcraft. She's a witch. You know, it's like, what? Like, it's like, this is how historically society has treated women. You know, yes. like society literally tries to force women in these very, very tiny specific boxes, right. you know, and it just does not work for every woman. And, yeah. and so anyway, so I just thought like, even if Marvel wasn't intending to do that with this one line, like it's not sorcery, it's witchcraft.
It definitely pulled that thread.
It spoke volumes to me. And it, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Whether they meant to or not, they pulled a very gendered thread that has a lot of historical mm-hmm. weight, a lot of historical baggage attached to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, you know what's something else I noticed at Kamertage? Yeah. I think one character that really stuck out to me was the Minotaur.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like they tipped their hand with the next Thor movie.
Oh.
Because the Greek gods are supposedly going to show up.
In the next Thor movie?
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to avoid rumors and everything. How do you know this?
Because it was in the trailer. They like showed Olympus or some shit.
Really? I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah.
I've only seen the trailer once. I'm trying not to watch trailers in general too many times because they really are giving away too much sometimes.
They really are. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. Greek gods. They're coming. Greek mythology is making their way. Next Avengers movie is going to have Hercules in it.
Are you just saying that or do you know that for a fact?
I'm just saying that because it's in the comics where he does do a stint on the Avengers.
Amazing.
Which still feels like a joke to me, but whatever. But yeah, that really jumped out at me.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Any other impressions of the movie?
Oh, we're so past impressions now, man. We're not doing no.
Okay. Any more
real world things about how society treats women, okay? Like what have you been talking about?
All right, because I wanted to get into a whole issue that I have with the Multiverse of Madness. And this doesn't have to do with the movie. It has to do with Marvel's framing of what the multiverse is.
Yes.
All right. Now, last week, we covered everything, everywhere, all at once.
The movie, not just like the subject matter of everything, everywhere, all at once.
Well, in this case, I'm going to turn it into the fucking subject matter. Okay. All right. But that was a movie that, as far as my background knowledge on theoretical physics works, was accurate. All right. Mm-hmm. With this one, I'm having some issues here. Okay. Uh-huh. They introduced the multiverse in the show Loki. All right. As much as we fucking hated that show, right. They showed it as the multiverse existing from different choices being made by people and branching off into different time streams, different timelines, mm-hmm. shall we say, as opposed to the multiverse theory, which is that there's an infinite number of universes that were created based on the unequal rate of expansion of the universe.
Right.
And I feel like Marvel actually has three different things going on, but they are not treating it as such. All right.
Okay.
They've got the multiverse. They've got multiple timelines, And they've got different dimensions. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Wait, when did they show different dimensions?
So in Doctor Strange, they have a thing called the mirror dimension. All right? And the main bad guy in Doctor Strange was Dormammu, who was from the dark dimension.
Right. Okay?
Now, we know that there are more than four dimensions in which things exist. So it makes sense that there would be many. As a uncle of ours said to me one time, oh, I love 10-dimensional mathematics. It's so freeing. All right. Obviously, like, there's, at least mathematically, there's more than just up, down, left, right, forward, back, and time.
Right.
Okay. There are more dimensions than that, though we don't perceive them with our five senses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you layer on more of that stuff, it makes sense that there's dimensions going on. All right. With Loki, they created multiple time streams, all right, mm-hmm. where different choices from the beginning of time have resulted in different time streams. I've mentioned this before on the podcast. I think when we covered Endgame, all right, and time travel in Endgame is very much tied to quantum mechanics. Kyle Hill, right. many years ago, when he was still doing Because Science, mm-hmm. which is this YouTube channel, he covered how time travel works in Endgame by going into quantum mechanics and how quantum particles are all connected to each other in an infinite number of ways.
Uh-huh.
All right. So supposedly, you could have a time stream branch off, all right,
mm-hmm.
and then reconnect
right.
to the main time stream, all right? Or like re...
Yeah, which is what they did in Endgame when they like took away the Infinity Stones and went back and put them back in.
Yes, right. But also how they time traveled by shrinking down to the quantum level.
Yeah.
And then growing out of the quantum level to mm-hmm. normal size, but in a different time zone, because everything is connected in an infinite number of ways, forwards and backwards. That's quantum mechanics. Multiverse theory is completely different, all right? Where when America Chavez is traveling from one dimension into, from one universe into another, we're not talking about universes that are branching off from one another, we're talking about universes that have always existed. So it made me, when I was watching the movie and I was thinking about all of this, the weird way in which Marvel has come up with their multiverse,
mm-hmm.
everything everywhere all at once. And then I was thinking of this Italian cosmologist from the 1400s, Bruno Giordano, who he was a monk. I think he was a friar. And he... At least in the show Cosmos, the Neil deGrasse Tyson version, not the one with Carl Sagan many decades ago. In that very first episode, he's talking about Giordano's theories. And at that time, the idea was that God created the universe in a limited capacity, like a wall. And Bruno was like, if God is infinite, all right, if you take an arrow and shoot it, and mm-hmm. that arrow goes to the end of the universe and it hits a wall. You could stand on that wall and shoot another arrow. And so, which means you're shooting an arrow past the boundary of the universe. So in, from a theological point of view, in his view, an infinite God means an infinite universe. In my point of view, I would take it even further, where infinity actually means infinity in many, many directions, including those that we can't perceive. So I think that
you were going to say, in my mind, infinity means infinity and beyond. Sorry.
They did show the Buzz Lightyear trailer at the beginning of that movie, though. Yes. So
yeah, they did.
I should have gone in that direction. I should have said
you missed opportunity.
I totally fucking missed opportunity. Beating myself up for this one.
But continue.
So, okay. So if you take the multiverse theory and there's an infinite number of universes sort of stacked on top of each other that all came into existence within the first few seconds of the Big Bang,
uh-huh.
all right, and you have multiple timelines branching off based on weird ass decisions the way it's described in Loki. All right. Each universe should have multiple time streams. And each of those time streams would have their own number of dimensions.
Yeah.
All right. So my question basically is, and I know the answer is, I don't know, we just made a fucking movie. Is America Chavez going from one universe to another, or is she jumping from one time stream to another?
That is a very good question.
Is Loki an actual setup helping to set up a multiverse, or was Loki setting up something completely different?
Oh, God. Also, when apologies if you can hear my cat outside my door. Kind of ruining the moment there, but yeah.
In Spider-Man No Way Home, all right, when Doctor Strange cast his spell, did he pull people from other universes, or did he pull people from other timelines? So like Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, did these guys just end up as Spider-Man based on branching timelines, or are they the Spider-Men of completely different universes that have their own branching timelines?
I hear your questions, and I counter you with, does it matter?
A little bit. It matters a little bit, uh-huh, because the physics of what's going on is totally different. All right. If you are jumping time streams, then the science that the TVA is using is more in line with the time travel science that was established in Avengers Endgame. And if it's actually multiversal, then there's a completely different sort of mechanism going on by which America Chavez mostly is traveling from one universe to another.
Right.
All right. And so, it also means that there's totally different resources available to our heroes and to the villains in the MCU to counter each other.
I think Marvel is just happy to have a whole library of things they can use to tell their stories. They are definitely not thinking about any of this. And that's where we're at. They have found an infinite number of ways for them to keep telling these stories / making money. So
yes, that is true.
Yes.
How long do you think it'll be before the MCU basically turns into the DCEU?
The extended universe of DC?
Yes.
Well, what's the difference right now?
Well, in the MCU, all the movies and stuff are all tied together. And what DC is doing, it's not all tied together. They tried something with the Zack Snyder movies, and then they were to try to copy the MCU, and then they were like, fuck it. We're just going to make a shit ton of movies, all right? And let these movie makers do whatever the fuck they want.
I think they've actually kind of started it already with Moon Knight.
You don't think?
Because it is a pretty standalone thing, minus the one reference to the ancestral planes from Black Panther.
You don't think Moon Knight exists in the MCU proper?
No, it does, but I'm saying that it's its own standalone thing. They're not trying to integrate it. Well, at least not right now. They're not trying to integrate it into anything else. So yes. I think, honestly, like I could see maybe, who knows, maybe 5-10 years from now when they're like, this shit is too complicated and we can't tie everything together in a nice neat knot. So maybe then they'll just be like, this is a different universe. It's universe 538, like whatever, you know, and it's a totally different story. Okay, bye. You know, and like, we're going to revamp Spider-Man again. And like, here's the 15th Spider-Man for you all. Like, it's definitely, that's what they're doing with the multiverse, I think, what they're hoping to lead to is that there might be multiple MCUs. You know what I mean? Like, they might just be like, okay, we've just spent the last, like, 15 years or, you know, whatever, telling you the story about Earth 616, and that was the MCU. Right. And now we're moving into phase, you know, 72. And we're now creating a different MCU for Earth, like I said, 538 now. Like, I can see Marvel doing that, like, over decades and decades.
Okay.
If they are around that long.
So, you like, know? After Kevin Feige retires, there's going to be a new producer who's going to be like, we're redoing the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a story of a different universe.
Yeah.
Entirely.
Also, random, like, business question, but do all the movies in the opening, I don't forget if this was the opening credits or end credits, but were they, do they always say a Kevin Feige production?
No.
Because on this movie, I noticed it for the first time.
I think this is the first MCU movie where it says a Kevin Feige production. Movie. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've seen it in some of the Disney Plus TV shows.
Right.
But this is, I'm pretty sure this is the first movie.
Yeah. With
the credits that say Kevin Feige production.
So I thought that was interesting and definitely an indicator that Kevin's not going anywhere. He's here for the long haul.
Goodbye, Jeff Loeb.
So, yeah. So I think that, yeah, like whoever next Kevin Feige's, you know, many, many years from now will kind of maybe create their own MCUs, you know, their own versions of them. So,
yeah. I think that would
be
awesome.
And that would work because guess what? Humans die. So you're going to have like so many different generations of kids where you know, their Spider-Man is someone totally different from ours. And
I mean, Tom Holland, they hired him when he was young, but eventually he's going to turn 58 and he's not going to be able to play Spider-Man anymore.
He's already like, I think I'm done. You know, like, and we were like, no, there's more.
there's so, Spider-Man stories out there of Peter Parker as an adult, businessman, successful and failed,
right? I feel like the main issue now is, and I'm going into the real world business side of things, but you know, like, before they had Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr., all these people, they signed these like 10-year contracts, right?
Right.
Which was great for them to make millions of dollars, but they weren't able to work on other things, you know, or like even Elizabeth Olsen, I think, was saying she had to turn down all these other roles just to keep playing Wanda. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, which has its pros and cons. And I don't think that's a thing anymore. No actor is going to, especially an actor who's already pretty well established, like Oscar Isaac is not trying to do a 10-year deal with Marvel where he can't do anything else, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just funny. Right? I don't know. I just had the thought right now that like the only things like Marvel has done such a great job of creating the MCU, building it, like having all these amazing characters and cast playing them, all this stuff. Literally the only issue they're dealing with now is that it takes so much time to make these movies. And then all of a sudden your actors are aging out from the characters they're trying to play.
Yeah.
So I wonder if honestly, eventually at some point, Marvel might invent their own time machine. That's what I put with this.
That's your real world business take on here.
No, go the back original, in time. Okay,
to when everybody was still under contract to get them to make like that's your real world take on this.
No, Aman, why not? Okay, literally, Elon Musk was this dude who like didn't he help create PayPal? Like you know, and now he's launching rockets into space. Okay, who would have predicted that, Aman? I honestly, like, what if at some point Kevin Feige is like, guys, we've been making movies about time travel for fucking decades. Like, why don't we actually make some investments into this and see where we can go? You know, like, why not? The world is crazy, is all I'm trying to say.
You want to hear a fun little factoid since you brought up Elon Musk?
Sure.
He was one of the real world ideas behind the Iron Man character. In the MCU. Yeah.
I knew that. Yes.
And that's why also Elon Musk has a small cameo in Iron Man 2.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
I forget what he does in it. But yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, okay, so point is, Aman, we also never thought we would be carrying around devices in our pockets that can give us access to literally any piece of information.
That's true.
Any known piece of information in the world. So it's like, why not? Honestly, like I literally can see this happening. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen 5-10 years from now. It's probably going to be like 100 years, 500 years from now. Who knows, you know?
Right.
Where like movie studios literally have time travel machines and they're trying to go back in time, bring people back. And like, who wouldn't want to see Carrie Fisher one more time? She didn't get to have her Star Wars movie in the latest Star Wars trilogy. You know what I mean? Like, that's true. Like,
yeah.
It's so easy to play on people's nostalgia and just wanting to go back to those good times and the way you felt with those characters and those actors and blah, blah, blah. And
that's Disney's entire business model.
Yeah, that is literally their whole thing. Why are they making live action movies of all their animated movies right now that they made decades ago?
Fair. Fair.
So, yeah.
The one problem with that is that
I'm sure there's several problems, but go on.
Time travel doesn't exist. And yes, is highly unlikely to exist. Moving backwards in time.
Yeah.
Is okay. Highly unlikely to exist. Moving forwards in time is very easy, actually. You just
freeze yourself.
You just keep living.
Yeah, okay.
Every moment we're moving forward in time. But no, really, if you fly close to the speed of light, your experience of time slows down. Or if you fly close to a high gravitational well like a black hole, right, your experience of time slows down, which means the rest of the universe is moving around faster than you. So if you travel fast, close to the speed of light, come back to Earth, more time would have passed than what you experienced, which is the same as forward time travel.
Okay, fine. That's fine. Whatever.
All right.
But,
Stephen Hawking conducted an experiment where he threw a party for time travelers. All right. And then afterwards sent out invitations to any time travelers to come back in time to join him for his party. No one showed up.
Oh my God. Okay. So, okay, fine. If time travel is highly unlikely, what about multiverse hopping?
So the existence of the multiverse is wholly theoretical right now. Right. All right. It's not proven. It's only sort of shown mathematically. It's not proven that the multiverse exists. But that's honestly, that seems more likely than backwards time travel to me.
I mean, we just got like this week, this fat or whenever recently, there was an image of a black hole released. And it also makes me think we don't know much about black holes either. You know, we don't know. There's a lot we don't know out there.
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot that we don't know about black holes, but we do know that the rules of physics tend to collapse because of the high amount of gravity created by a black hole and the warping that it creates in space and time.
Yes.
However, nothing can survive.
We know that for a fact.
Yeah, we do. We do. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a black hole.
Yeah, fine. Okay. I mean, obviously, I know we know. I don't know. I just feel like there's like so many things about space, obviously, that we just don't. There's so many things about our own freaking ocean we don't know.
This is true.
Like, I mean, we know more about space than we do about Earth's oceans.
I think there's 20% of the ocean floor that is currently completely unmapped.
Yeah. I think it's more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are parts of giant squid that float up to the surface sometime. Squids, which based on the measurements of their tentacles, are probably like 90-100 feet long.
That's horrifying.
And probably where the myth of the Kraken comes from.
Yeah, well, that would add up. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. The world is full of endless wonder.
Right. I feel like we could just end the episode here, but we need to also talk about the post-credit scene.
We do. I have no idea what was happening.
Damn it, Aman! I thought you would know. I know
nothing about that character. I've never even heard of her. I don't know who Charlize Theron is playing. And
I was going to be like, who the fuck is that?
I have no idea. I have no idea who the fuck that is. No idea.
The worst geeks ever. Okay, all I know is from my skimming of headlines is that she is in the comics a future love interest of Doctor Strange.
Oh, fascinating.
That is all I know of her. Oh, and I think clearly she's able to slice through dimensions or some shit. I don't know. Dimensions or multiverses. I don't know what she's slicing into, but
yeah,
she's doing it.
I did have a problem with the post-credits scene where the movie ends before the post-credits scene. Movie ends with Doctor Strange having a third eye open up, which earlier in the movie made it seem like that was a direct result of the corruption of from the Darkhold.
Right.
All right. But then in the post, and so I'm like, oh my God, is Doctor Strange turning evil? And then immediately post-credits scene, he's like totally fine. And it's like, what the shit?
We don't know if they're totally fine. This woman is literally slashing through dimensions. Like, what does that mean? So like, we don't know if they're about to go do something evil or something good.
Well, I mean, she did say you caused a, what is
incursion.
It? An incursion, which also is used, the term used in the comics. And the first time I remember coming across it was in Secret Wars, where they combined Earths 616 and 1610.
Ooh. Ooh, yeah. By the way, I do think they're leading into some sort of Secret Wars type thing at the end of whatever number phase this is of the MCU. So I think that's kind of what
Secret
they're
Secret Invasion or Secret Wars? Like, are we talking about the Skrull invasion thingy or?
No, of like multiverses colliding.
Battle World.
I think that's what's happening.
Okay.
With that.
All right. We'll see. I'm down for that visually to see how that plays out. Mm-hmm. You know?
A little nervous about the writing.
Yeah, a little nervous about the point.
Yeah. What is the point of any of it now, really? Honestly, I wouldn't have even minded if after Endgame they were like, all right, that's a wrap on the MCU. You know, like that was 10 years good work, you know?
Yeah,
like,
solid. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up.
Like I said, it's like start your own another little MCU, which is kind of sort of what they're doing. I don't know. I go back and forth on it.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. Back and forth.
But anyway. Okay. So I am so sorry, dear listener. We have no additional information for you on that post-credit scene. Also, how mad were you at the second post-credit scene where after watching all those credits that it's just the dude who Doctor Strange
I
that curse up punching himself and then he's like, it's over. It was clever, but I was like, fuck you.
No, I loved it. Yeah. I loved it because that was Bruce Campbell, all right, of Evil Dead fame, which is what led to Sam Raimi being famous as a horror director. And Bruce Campbell has a cameo in all of Sam Raimi's movies.
Oh.
All right. And the whole it's finally over thing is, I'm pretty sure, a line from The Evil Dead. So...
wow. So that was a double thing because it's also like, it's over, like the movie's over, go home.
Yes. Like that. Also that. But anyway. I love that scene, meant a lot more to me. I felt a lot more in that end credits scene than I did in the first one where I'm like, wait, so he's not evil? And who the fuck is this chick?
Yeah. Okay, fair. All right then.
My research on that, on that mid-credits scene.
Yeah, Sam. Okay, wait, but you mentioned Sam Raimi, and I read something that I found to be very disappointing. Mm-hmm. And apparently, this is going to be my last point, and then we're wrapping up this episode.
Okay, if you say so.
I read that Sam Raimi didn't even watch all of WandaVision. And this was basically, this movie was like a sequel to WandaVision.
Yeah, but he didn't write this. Is he credited?
He directed the movie, Amon. Sam Raimi directed this movie. Yeah. I expect you to do your research.
Yeah, I mean, I know that he doesn't like watch all the MCU movies and didn't do that.
That's fine, but like, you need to watch all the direct WandaVision.
You need to watch the direct prequel. Yeah.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah.
So I didn't like that, and that makes me very sad and disappointed in Sam Raimi because I otherwise like him.
I do have to say I was very happy with Wanda's shoes.
Yeah, me too. Yes. Mm-hmm.
She was not wearing stupid fucking high heels unnecessarily.
Yes. Much more.
And
practical.
That made me very happy.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
You know, if you're going to be the Scarlet Witch kicking everybody's ass across dimensions, your shoes better be fucking practical.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
And on that note.
All right. For real this time.
Yeah. Thank you, as always, for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And we'll catch you next week.